You're listening to The Lead, a podcast where we learn how to get ahead in the media industry from the people that did. I'm Daniel Funky.
Well, we made it. The last episode of season one of The Lead. And what better way to spend it than talking about politics? Today on the show, we have Barry Hollander, a journalism professor right here at the Grady College of Journalism at the University of Georgia. But first, a word from our sponsor. This podcast was created by the Cox Institute for Journalism Innovation, Management, and Leadership as part of its Innovation Fellowship Program. To learn more, go to grady.uga.edu/Cox Institute. We invited Professor Hollander on the show today to talk about last Tuesday's election outcome. It's pretty clear that the polls got it wrong, and a lot of people are blaming journalists. So we decided to sit down with Professor Hollander and talk about the outcome, as well as his own research into political journalism and polling techniques. Here's our conversation. Hi, Professor Hollander. How's it going?
Hey, how's it going?
Great. So thank you so much for being here. You know, it's been almost a week since the election results rolled in, and the aftermath has been pretty severe, especially for a lot of members of the media. So I was just wondering what your reaction to initially was and in the coming days to the election results.
I think I'm probably still going through the seven stages, still dealing with, I wake up in the morning and think, really? Trump won? Wait, he wasn't supposed to. Nate Silver told me otherwise. So like a lot of people, I'm still going through the acceptance stage now of the sheer surprise given we were told, based on the polling and all the models, that Clinton was going to win. So I am now accepting it and now really watching the forensics take place of what went wrong in the polling.
Definitely. And I think, like what you said, it's very clear that there is a breakdown in polling technology. And as someone that researches that, what do you think went wrong? And why do you think the media projected that Hillary Clinton was going to win, and by such a large margin?
Well, in some ways, the polls were right. Hillary Clinton is going to win. Once all the votes are counted, she will probably have a percentage point, maybe 2 percentage points advantage over Donald Trump in the popular vote. So if it's, let's say it's 2-point advantage in the popular vote, which could happen once the votes are counted, the polls were saying she was going to win by 4 percentage points. So the polls nationally actually did not do a terrible job. They're fairly accurate. What happened was a breakdown in the state polls, especially 5 states. And I'll probably get the list wrong off the top of my head, but Pennsylvania, Florida, Michigan, Wisconsin, and I forget the other state. But those state polls, which were vital for Hillary Clinton, those state polls missed badly. And for a lot of reasons, and we're still understanding truly what the reasons are, but essentially, less educated white voters turned out far more than was expected based on the polls.
So where do we go from here, both for journalists and polling experts and people researching political communication and political science in general?
Well, I think it's an important corrective. We should not spend too much time relying too much on the polls, and I say that as a person who teaches public opinion and specializes in public opinion. But we have grown kind of lazy in our political reporting. Previous to the explosion of polls and models, 538 and all the rest, previous to that, we over-relied on anecdotes, man-on-the-street interviews, straw polls, who in my house thinks is going to win. So we started overcorrecting into a reliance on the numbers, and I'm a numbers guy. But we over-relied on them, and now we're getting a correction, I believe, back to get off the coasts, get on the streets, get on Main Street, and start talking to real live people. There were models that correctly predicted the election outcome, but those models, political science models, tended to focus on the fact that we've had 8 years of Democratic control. Historically, it's time to lose. But we've over-relied on the polls. The polls will get better, I suspect, in 2020. There are a lot of problems with polling, mainly having to do with cell phones and response rates, which is way too in the weeds than you want to get here. But there are a lot of careful analyses going on right now, but they really won't be done, honestly, for another 6 months.
So you touched on an important critique of the media this election cycle, and that's that they kind of reside on the coast in these elite pockets of American society and not really going into the middle of the country, and that might be what have influenced like the media's prediction of the outcome. So I was just wondering,
How do you reconcile that problem with the fact that trust in media is at an all-time low, especially among the demographics that voted for Trump in this election?
Yeah, the trust in media thing, I don't spend way too much time worrying over. It's problematic. But trust in all major institutions has been steadily decreasing since the 1970s, honestly, since Watergate, Vietnam. And so the trust in media is certainly better than trust in Congress. And Congress is still here and is not going anywhere anytime soon. I think journalism has to do a much better job of making itself, explaining why we do what we do to the people. And it's very interesting, after the Trump's victory, that readership has suddenly jumped for the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, Politico, and others. And so there's probably going to be more of a hunger for real news. The problem is perhaps social media, and I could sit here and blame social media all day long, but people have even raised Facebook and the use of the popularity of fake news on Facebook as being a cause. I don't think it caused Hillary Clinton to lose, nor did I think the FBI investigation caused her to lose, but fake news is probably one of the biggest challenges we have right now.
Yeah, so you mentioned Facebook and fake news, and I think Mark Zuckerberg has come out and said that Facebook doesn't really have an obligation to make sure that people aren't sharing fake news on Facebook. What's your take on that? And do you think that's going to be a big problem in 2020, or are we going to develop institutions to regulate it?
I think Zuckerberg has a hard time saying fake news didn't decide the election, but by the way, our advertising can influence people to buy your stuff. And so he's sort of stuck in a problematic situation there. The growth of fact-checking sites helps. The PolitiFacts of the world help. Better political reporting will help. I strongly suspect, given the tribal nature of social media, people right now quickly unfriending family members because they're crazy of one side or the other in the election outcome. Social media is a growing problem for journalists because it creates in people the sense that the news is unbiased if it agrees with my viewpoint. Very few people now seem to be patient with news that doesn't agree with their viewpoint. That is probably one of the greatest challenges for mainstream journalism, which tries to give even treatment to both sides.
Definitely. And another one of the big critiques of the media that we have kind of touched on is that they don't understand the life of these lower-income white Americans who have seen job loss and economic downturn in their towns around the country. And I was just wondering, you know, and on the other side, you have Democrats who are saying a lot of these people are racist, misogynistic. They're in this basket of deplorables that Clinton famously said on the pink campaign trail. And how do you think, like, objective reporters should approach the situations where they really want to listen to what these people have to say and where they're coming from, but they also want to make sure that they're not giving voice to people that maybe shouldn't have it?
Yeah, the problem with journalism, of course, over the years is when I came up as a journalist, it really was a middle class, even lower middle class, working class kind of major that you went into. A lot of the journalists that I went to school with came, like I did, from working class families. And now the hit on journalists is that they all now come from upper middle class, well-off families, and they have lost that connection with other people. I don't know that's necessarily true. We do a pretty good job of talking about other communities unlike ourselves. It may simply be, in part, and this is just a theory, that we spend a lot of time, the royal we, journalistically, covering those who have shouted the loudest about the problems facing their communities, ethnic, racial, whatever. And perhaps we're not listening to those shouts from communities that oftentimes don't complain. They just go to work. They work 14 hours a day, 16 hours a day to make the same salary that their parents made at 8 hours a day. We weren't listening to those communities. We were listening to these other communities. And if nothing else, maybe this election will teach us it's time to pay attention perhaps to those who aren't speaking out so much, who are quietly suffering.
Definitely. And what are some other challenges that you think are going to be present for journalists in the future, especially for some of us that are graduating. We might be covering the next election in 2020, and I think we've seen a lot of challenges for people that are on the campaign trail every day. So what do you think is going to present itself, and how do we address them?
Well, the greatest challenge of journalism, of course, is paying the bills. Real journalism is expensive. Opinion is cheap. Talk radio, cheap to put on, makes lots of money. A lot of the newscasts on Fox News or even MSNBC, having someone out there spouting opinions for an hour is actually fairly cheap. It's fairly inexpensive, as opposed to paying to have someone go cover Antarctica, to someone go cover Syria, to have someone go off and spend months following a campaign. So journalism is very expensive to do well. So the single greatest challenge, of course, is paying for what we believe is an important part of democracy. As far as 2020 is concerned, we've already started the sweepstakes. The Democrats, at least, are already positioning themselves. And will it be Elizabeth Warren? Will it be O'Malley? Will it be Booker? Will it be who? Will it be? So that's not unusual. Usually the day after an election, we start talking about the next election. Most Americans are not. The problem with political journalists, as much as I love political journalism, is for the next 3 years, we're talking to a very small group of people, the nerds who care about this stuff. Most Americans, after the euphoria or the despair of last week, they're moved on with their lives. They got bills to pay, got kids to get to soccer, you know, they got stuff to do. So the problem with a lot of journalism is we spend so much time talking up to ourselves about ourselves and not about what people find really important in their lives. Donald Trump, he figured that out. He took advantage of a populist wave in a way that journalists kind of laughed at and said, oh, he has no chance. He and his people saw that need and addressed it. Journalists are famous for being blind to that kind of thing. Perhaps now this will be a signal to us to pay better attention.
And what would you say, just to wrap it up, to student journalists who are aspiring political reporters or who want to be reporting on people in power, who might become one of these great reporters in a couple of years? What do you think they need to take away from their time in college?
Spend as much time as you can covering political stories. That seems obvious. There aren't many, but even covering city hall stories, dog catcher races, whatever it takes, you have to get used to covering how politics really works. And the how politics really works is very different than what we see on TV. So learn the basics, obviously, but also understand the differences, the nuances in political coverage that are different than covering sports, that are different than covering business or some other beat. Politics is a very funny thing. You're talking to experts and you're talking to real people in a way that no other beat really does. You don't see sports reporters covering the locker room and then going out interviewing fans very often. But in politics, you have to be able to do both. You have to have a good sense of changes that are going on, and you have to have very good sources. You have to learn to talk, to hang out with people that you're going to be covering, get to know them, get them to trust you, and learn how they do their job.
Professor Hollander, thanks so much for being here today.
That is great. Thanks.
Barry Hollander is a professor of journalism at the University of Georgia. Thank you for listening to Season 1 of The Lead, produced by Daniel Funke with special help from Keith Herndon, director of the Cox Institute at the University of Georgia. We'll be back with Season 2 in early January when, every 2 weeks, we'll interview a different media leader about how to get ahead in the journalism industry. Follow us on Twitter at The Lead Podcast for updates. But for now, listen to this past season at soundcloud.com/The Lead Podcast. Oh, and don't forget to enjoy the holidays.